The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts, Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد ذي القدر العظيم وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين الحمد لله. In our daily ruha, we've been looking at the 40 hadith Qudsi, that is the first collection in the Arba'in, Al-Arba'in, 40 sets of 40 hadiths from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we're also looking at Ta'lim al-Muta'allim by Imam al-Zarnuji. And Ta'lim al-Muta'allim, we paused in the last session to look at some of the key verses and some of the key hadiths that highlight some of the virtues of knowledge, and all the hadiths on the virtues of knowledge all have within them clear expression or indication or implicit within them the key conditions for gaining and benefiting from that knowledge. So we stopped, in our look at the 40 hadith Qudsi, I believe with hadith number 28, correct? That honor is my cloak and haughtiness is my garment, so whoever vies with me for them, I will punish them. And one narration of it mentioned by the author, it says, قَسَمْتُهُ, I'll cut them off. I'll destroy them. So hadith number 29, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال يقول الله تعالى. So the messenger, the Prophet ﷺ relates that Allah Most High says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي إِنْ ظَنَّ خَيْرًا فَلَهُ وَإِنْ ظَنَّ شَرًّا فَلَهُ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي, I am as my servant thinks of me. If they think good of me, they shall have it. And if they think ill of me, they shall have it. Right? And there's a number of such hadiths. أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنْ, right? And this refers, I am as my servant. ظَنْ is how one thinks of someone. Right? But عِنْدَ, it could also, you know, literally, عِنْدِيَ, the literally is, you know, refers to tangible. I am with the servants thinking of me. Right? So if you think of Allah, He's there with you. Because the reality is He is with you wherever you may be. But if you think of Him in good quality, you think of His mercy and favor, and you think about Him in a good way, that's what you will find. But if you think that He will forget you and not give you, or you object to Him, right? So it's either thinking about Allah Himself or His attributes or His actions. I am as my servant thinks of me. of Allah Himself, of His attributes, and of His actions. Right? And of course, and the thinking is not just the imagining with the mind, but how you conduct yourself. I am as my servant thinks of me, both like if what you think about Allah, but then how you do it, because what your actions are expressions of how you truly think about something. Okay. And this is related by Imam Ahmad and Muslim. And in hadith number, so that's hadith 29. Hadith number 30. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله تعالى أنا عند ظن عبدي بي وأنا معه حيث يذكرني إن ذكرني في نفسه ذكرته في نفسي وإن ذكرني في ملأ ذكرته في ملأ خير منهم وإن تقرب إلي شبرا تقربت إليه ذراعا وإن تقرب إلي ذراعا تقربت إليه باعا وإن أتاني يمشي أتيته هرولا رواه ابن أبي شيبة. So in this hadith related by Abu Huraira from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah Most High says, أنا عند ظني عبدي بي, I am as my servant thinks of me. وأنا معه حيث يذكرني, and I am with them when they remember me. Right? Or حيث, because I am with them when they remember me, or I am أنا معه, and I am with them as they remember me. And this is both the remembrance of the tongue and the remembrance of your state and actions. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, if they remember me in the, you know, within themselves, I remember them to myself. And if they remember me in a gathering, mala, ذكرته في mala, I remember them in a gathering that is better than that. Of course, this is of the numerous hadiths of the merit of remembering Allah with other people. And we've had other hadiths that have come on this, of the hadith Qudsi, and more are to come. And then, if they draw close to me by a handspan, shibran, taqarrabtu ilayhi ذِرَاعًا, I draw close to them by an arm's length, ذِرَاعًا. وَإِن تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ ذِرَاعًا, and if they draw close to me, by an arm's length, تَقَرَّبْتُ مِنْهُ بَاعًا, which is two arm's lengths. وَإِنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي, and if they come to me walking, أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَ, I rush to them. رَوَاهُ ابْنُ أَبِي شَيْبَةٍ. It's related by Ibn Abi Shayba. Now this narration of Ibn Abi Shayba is also mentioned separately, the two parts of it, in the Sahih works. Right? But he mentions this narration because it puts the two together. Right? There's a question. ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٍ, I mentioned them in a gathering better than that, which is in the company of the angels, by Allah mentioning those people, which is a greater honor, which ultimately indicates greater divine good pleasure. And it's from Allah's mercy that if they draw close to me by a handspan. But it also affirms these two key meanings, right? One is all the actions that one does, what is the purpose underlying them? Taqarrub ila Allah, to draw closer to Allah, right? But that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he's testing us in drawing close, it's He wants us to come close to him. Right? And he magnifies that. Right? So the basis of Allah's dealing with servants is mercy. If they draw close to me, but even a little, I magnify it. Right? And that's how we view tests. Right? That these are opportunities of taqarrub, and Allah, we have the surety that Allah will magnify its consequence. But that the more that one strives, the greater the transformative consequence. But the greatest thing one can do to draw close to Allah is consistency in the acts of drawing close. When atani yamshi, if they come to me walking, right, that is when the acts of taqarrub, of drawing close, become consistent. Ataytuhu harwala, I come to them. Right? Allah comes to them, comes to the servant, rushing. Right? And this was explained by Imam Nawawi, because the hadith in Muslim, this part of the hadith is in Sahih Muslim as well, that it is Allah's, is the constant divine favor upon such a person. But Allah comes to them, right? Because as-sabiquna as-sabiqun, ulaika al-muqarrabun, the foremost, they are the ones who've been drawn close. So this hadith contains a clear call, right, to remember Allah, to have a good opinion of Allah. Right? But of course, to have a good opinion of Allah, you must know Allah. Right? You must know Allah, who He is, fi dhatihi, in His entity, and who He is in His attributes. And to understand who He is in His actions, wa af'alihi. Right? So one must have, and this is why the sound study of aqidah is so critical, to have clear understanding of what we believe about Allah Himself and His attributes and His actions. Right? And this is the only way to understand reality, because as Imam Al-Ghazali says, إِذْ لَيْسَ فِي الْوُجُودِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وصفاته وأفعاله ومملكته وعبيده من أفعاله. Right? For nothing is in existence except Allah Himself and His attributes and His actions and His dominion, and His servants are from His actions. He, Allah, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ, Allah has created you. Right? So they're all from. So this is, so having a good opinion of Allah requires sound understanding of Islamic beliefs, and then sound, that's the seed of having a good opinion of Allah, but it must be watered with the water of remembrance, which is why remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. And it is cultivated by gatherings of dhikr. It's cultivated by gatherings of dhikr. Right? That's very clear. And the purpose of the true servant of Allah is taqarrub, is to draw close, and to take the little steps, the handspan. That's a small step. That's not even a step. You just imagine it. If everyone just takes a moment, I'm going to look at you. Just take a moment, just stand up. And estimate, you don't have to like measure it, estimate drawing close, taking a step, that's a shibr. That's just like a handspan. Would you call that a step? And don't trip over your handbag, please. Is that a step? You wouldn't even call that a step. So you don't, it's not, take a step towards Allah, right? Take even like a little nudge towards Allah, right? That's a shibr. A zira' is closer to a step. Right? A zira' is about half a meter. Right? And you just estimate. You don't have to don't step on your laptop, please. Okay. Take a zira'. Right? Right? That's closer to being a full step. But probably a little less. Right? But then aba', right, is a meter. That's a big step. Let's take a big step. Right? That's a jump. Right? So a ba', like, yeah, that's a meter. Two zira's, right? That's a big step. Like a step and a half. How much is one step? The fuqaha had to define, you guys can all sit down. Right? Is one step a khutwa? And there's different types of steps, of course. People, God bless the Arabs, they love to swear by things and to make that, wallahi, this, if this. That to define everything. How much is a step? And then there's different types of steps. Right? And a khutwa, it's a big step. Right? Because if you walk normally, but if you take a big step, it's like, could be up to a ba. Right? So like, take a big step. So you take a little, it's the little thing, then a small step, then a big step, the ba. Right? That those are big steps, like someone who's gained momentum now. But then they make it consistent. But also the big step, some of the ulama say, it's like, there's beauty. If you think about it, initially when you take a step, what are you going to do? It would be tiny. But then you take a small step, and it's probably less than a complete step. But then you may be excessive, because a ba'a, take a big step like that. Right? I almost laughed at Sidi Amr's big step, right? A ba'a, which is like a meter step. It's kind of, you take that as your step, it's kind of big. Right? And that's sort of the struggle of beginning. In the beginning, you can only take a tiny step. Then it may be an incomplete step. Then you may kind of go overboard a little bit for a while. But don't worry about that. And the same thing happens in studies. You find yourself, you slack a little bit. Then you feel that you're not making progress. Then it's not quite complete. Then you go overboard and like your mom gets mad at you because you never visited her and you never made a meal at home and you didn't throw out the garbage. Right? But then it comes back to a balance. And what is the balance? It's meshi. And meshi, of course, is not necessarily the ba'a, but it has continuity. But it's all under divine favor. It's all under divine favor. But also to think about the reality of Allah coming to you. But of course, the reality, of course, as we know from the Quran, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ, He is always with you. أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, wherever you may be. However you may be. It is you who are absent from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, him drawing closer to you is his. It is his facilitating for you, right? Consciousness of him, it's his divine favor, of increase in faith, so that you are more conscious of him, and of his facilitating for you, the degrees of closeness to him. But it is all, what is all of it? It's all daf'ul jahl. It is lifting ignorance, right? Because the most basic meaning in existence is that He is. Right? He is. Right? But we are not conscious of that. Hadith number 31 عن معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال قال الله عز وجل المتحابون بجلالي لهم منابر من نور يغبطهم النبيون والشهداء رواه الترمذي. It's related by Sayyidina Muadh bin Jabal, may Allah be well pleased with him, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم relates from his Lord Mighty and Majestic that those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Mutahabuna bijalali, those who love one another by my majesty, right, or for my majesty, right, for my sake, but bijalali, recognizing that it is from recognition of the jalal, of the majesty of Allah, having a deep sense of responsibility in doing those things that are pleasing to Allah. Because you would think love, you think it becomes, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say Al-Mutahabbuna bijamali, those who love one another for my beauty? Because love is like an attribute of beauty. Al-Mutahabbuna birahmati, those who seek my mercy and love one another for my mercy. Al-Mutahabbuna bijalali, that those who love one another for my majesty. One for my sake, but the other for my majesty, that those who recognize my greatness, the greatness of who I am, so they have a sense of great responsibility to keep, to love others, and the expressions of loving one another that are called upon. If you recognize the majesty of Allah, you have a sense of responsibility. And that responsibility includes, you know, that حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لَفْتَ, until you love for others what you love for yourself. Right? And then the ways, the subsequent hadith will tell us some of the ways of loving one another, which are the rights of a believer upon a believer. All of those out of a sense of the majesty of Allah, until that's a responsibility. But then there's also the sense, you know, and this is also, it's out of faith. بِجَلَالِي, you know, the ba is a facet. بِجَلَالِي, it's either for a لِجَلَالِي, right? The ba بِمَعْنَ اللَّام, right? For, but in my majesty, like, or, you know, by my majesty, meaning that if you have consciousness of faith, it would entail that you love other people. As other texts make clear, right? So those who love one another for my majesty, seeking Allah's majesty, or out of consciousness of Allah's majesty, but also in consciousness, by my majesty, in consciousness of who Allah is, in consciousness of Allah, and in consciousness of what is pleasing to Him. How do you gain the love of Allah? By loving, by all the expressions of love that are beloved to Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, and those who believe are more intense in their love for Allah. So you love others out of love for Allah. And this is why the expression is as it is. They shall have لَهُمْ manabira. لَهُمْ مَنَابِرٌ مِنْ نُورٍ, right? They have minbars. They have minbars of light, like raised stations of light that they sit upon. يَغْبِطُهُمُ النَّبِيُّونَ وَالشُّهَدَاءُ, that the prophets and the martyrs would envy them for. And this is لِلْمُبَالَغَةِ, that were even prophets and martyrs not to consider what they are already rewarded by Allah, the reward of those who love one another for their sake is so great that prophets and martyrs would think that I wish we had that. Of the tremendousness of the reward. رواه الترمذي. So that's related by Imam al-Tirmidhi رضي الله تعالى عنه. So here, of course, it's a strong call to love one another for the sake of Allah. But that love for the sake of Allah, has expressions. It has expressions. As hadiths, amongst them, the hadith of Sayyidina Anas, or the hadith of Sayyidina Mu'adh that will be coming later, that those who visit one another for the sake of Allah, those who spend on each other for the sake of Allah, right? Those who, you know, and the other expressions of the rights, what the sign of loving others for the sake of Allah? It is, those are the haqqul muslim ala al-muslim. Those are the duties a believer, the rights a believer has over a believer. Those are the duties of brotherhood, right? And which are so rarely, if ever, considered or fulfilled. And those are duties towards any believer, right? Let alone the duties owed to someone one has a tie of friendship with, or has any other relationship wherein rights arise, right? So we're going to stop there. Next class, we're going to look from hadith number 32 onwards, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And after having looked in the previous session at some of the virtues of knowledge, we're going to look today briefly, as we do, at ta'lim al-muta'allim, and we've in ta'lim al-muta'allim, where have we reached? We looked at the virtues of knowledge because we reached this, the section, we looked at the we reached, did we not reach the end of the section? Yeah, so we reached Faslun fi niyyati hal al-ta'lim, correct? The section or chapter on intention in one's seeking knowledge. So we stopped at that there's many virtues of knowledge that have been mentioned, and we looked at some of them, that Allah raises those who believe and have been granted knowledge many great ranks. And then some of the hadiths on the great virtue of knowledge. Then he says, فَصْلٌ فِي النِّيَّةِ حَالَ التَّعَلُّمِ. Imam Zarnuji rahimahullah, he says, ثُمَّ لَبُدَّ لَهُ مِنَ النِّيَّةِ فِي زَمَنِ تَعَلُّمِ الْعِلْمِ. It is absolutely necessary for the student, for him, meaning for them, for the student of knowledge, to have intention during the time of their seeking knowledge. And he said, he doesn't just say fi talab al-ilm, in seeking knowledge, because I made an intention, but fi zaman, in the time of seeking knowledge. Why? Because intention is not there's having and making an intention, but the sunnah of the intention is to make it and to sustain it, right? It's istihdaru niyyah, is keeping, is making or keeping the intention present. Why? He explains, إِذَا النِّيَّةُ هِيَ الْأَصْلُ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَحْوَالِ. Because the intention is the basis, the foundation in all one's states. لِقَوْلِهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Because of his saying, peace and blessings be upon him, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are only by intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. And each person shall only have what they intended. حديث صحيح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's an authentic hadith from the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. وعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كم من عمل يتصور بصورة أعمال الدنيا ويصير بحسن النية من أعمال الآخرة. It's related from him صلى الله عليه وسلم that how many an action takes the form of the actions of this world, but it becomes yasir, it becomes through its good intention from the actions of the hereafter. وَكَمْ مِنْ عَمَلٍ يَتَصَوَّرُ بِصُورَةِ أَعْمَالِ الْآخِرَةِ ثُمَّ يَصِيرُ مِنْ أَعْمَالِ الدُّنْيَا بِسُوءِ النِّيَةِ. And it becomes, so how many an action has the form of the actions of the next life, but it becomes of the actions of this world by the ill intent behind it. So that's the end of the hadith. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَنُّيَ الْمُتَعَلِّمُ. So what intention does the student of knowledge make? He'll explain that. He'll explain that. And we'll look in the next session at some of the intentions of seeking knowledge. The important thing is الْأَصْلُ فِي النِّيَّةِ الْإِخْلَاصِ. The basis of the good intention is sincerity. And in that sense, the intention is only one. لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِ. It's for Allah, mighty and majestic. But the intention also answers the question, كَيْفَ. How? كَيْفَ تَطْلُبُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. How do you seek Allah through this? So make multiple intentions. Right? And the reality that we have a nafs, right? One of the most detrimental things the nafs does, that it drags our intentions. So we do something, because someone tells us to do something, we do it because they told us. Any action is by its intention. So if you did it because, if someone said, could you make me some coffee? I said, okay. Why do you make coffee? Because he told me to. That's a missed opportunity. Because you should have done it for Allah. Right? So, and the nature of the nafs, that, right? And that's the harm of being by yourself. By yourself, two words. Right? That, and then things don't make sense. And that's one of the problems in any type of service. You're doing it. I was forced to do this. Well, no. Firstly, legally, no one forced you. Number two, why did they tell you to do it? Because there's benefit in it. So why do you do it? Because they told me to. So you neither did it for the benefit, but even the benefit is not why you do it. You do it for Allah, seeking the benefit thereby. Okay? But people say, oh, I was asked to clean up the classroom. So why do you do it? Because I was told. Okay. Let's do it. I'll clean up the classroom for the sake of Allah. Why? Then you consider, actually it facilitates good opinion of others. They just say, oh, Sister Yasmin made me clean the Zahra room. Right? If that's how I viewed it, I'd be mad at Sister Yasmin because I don't like doing anything. Right? But you say, okay, he told me to do it. I don't like that. It's okay. Well, let me do it for the sake of Allah. Why do I do it for the sake of Allah? Because if the room is clean, people, you know, and you think of the benefits. If you think of the benefits, then you understand why the person told you to do it, and you won't have the inevitable thinking ill of other people. Right? Actions that are done without sincere intention are inevitably coupled with ill opinion of people, because we care more about people than Allah, and latently, and sometimes explicitly, with ill opinion of Allah. Right? So actions without intentions, without sincere intentions, typically come with ill opinion of people. And typically, it is latent within them to have ill opinion of Allah. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى العافية والتيسير بفضله وكرمه. So he'll tell us about what the intentions are in seeking knowledge. And this is a beautiful section. And we'll look at that next. And we'll also touch upon the intentions for seeking knowledge of Imam al-Haddad. We have those on the Seekers Hub website. If you go intention, seeking knowledge, Imam Haddad with two D's, H-A-D-D-A-D, you'll find the dua, right? And you can make it as a statement, and you can make it into a dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka. So you say, nawaitu, right? Oh Allah, I ask you for. And you to also make it as a dua. And that's a good dua, just a practical thing to do, is just to write out that dua in your own handwriting and recite it every time you begin to study. So when you begin to study anything, whether it's before a class, before reading a book, before doing anything knowledge related, right? And also any service that's related to knowledge, because anything that is facilitating knowledge, whether in terms of ta'allum al-ilm or calling to Allah, etc., then any of those things are also from, these are means to that. So if you think about it, anything that you do that's a means, you know, لِلْوَسَائِلْ حُكْمُ الْغَيَاتِ, means take the rulings of their ends. So whatever you're doing, that you intend that. And to facilitate in that. Right? And to facilitate in that. Because they're all, you know, all the means of service of the path of knowledge are from beneficial knowledge. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US.